Hey everyone, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Rachel Roberts.
And this is The Daily Dish,
Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Rachel, you have an exciting weekend coming up.
Is exciting the word? I feel bad because now if somebody listens to this, it's going to be like, it is freaking exciting. You should be excited. But it's just been like a journey planning this bachelorette weekend, as they always are. Like, I have yet to be a part of a wedding that was just like, easy going, smooth sailing, no problem.
I never talk to anyone that's like, I had so much fun being a bridesmaid in this wedding.
Yeah. No one's ever walked away. I've been like, I would do that again. Yeah. Oh, my God. And so, like, last weekend, I think it's hard because it was two weeks in a row, and then the wedding's in, like, 3 weeks.
Right.
So it's, like,
it's just a lot all at once.
A lot of stuff. And last weekend, and I will give it to the maid of honor, she, like, planned the whole bridal shower. But because she did that, I think she was like, well, you can just handle
the bachelorette
party. And I'm like, what? Why is that decided? I'm not the maid of honor. Because I've been the maid of honor before, and that was not the process. It wasn't like I just was like, well, you plan all of this. Like, if I didn't do it, nobody was going to do
it.
But then I was getting worried because she wasn't doing it. And I was like, well, it's either not going to happen or we're going to, like, end up in a motel by the Hudson River. And it would be, like, horrible.
Right.
And be like, happy. Congrats.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on the bed. And it's gross, you know? So we're going to a grape stomping festival, which I'm really excited about, though. I think I've never done that before.
It's very I Love Lucy.
Yes. I mean, that's exactly what I thought of, too. But again, the maid of honor doesn't sound excited about it.
I was like, because she didn't plan it.
But you don't have to get to
say. I know. That's how people are, though. Like, they want you to pick something that is exactly what they... And by the way, it's not even about you. If the bride is happy...
Right.
Leave it alone. Also, have either of you been to upstate wineries?
That's what we're doing. Yeah, like Hudson Valley wineries and stuff.
Or are, like, they good? Further.
I've done a few. I did a day with, like, my friend and her mom. And we went around. And it was fun. It was like we went to a few different ones. It's nice because they're all so close together. So you can, like, go to one. And then, like, my friend's boyfriend DD'd for us. So it was like, that was ideal.
I've always wanted to, but then I watched that Netflix show, Friends from College, and they basically have a whole episode that makes fun of New York wineries, and, like, it's terrible wine.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say it was terrible wine.
Oh, good.
But I have gone in, like, Napa and, like, in California, and it is a different experience.
Right.
Do you guys know the viral video about the grape stomping?
No, what? No.
Oh, God.
Wait, the woman that falls.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Of course.
It's a lot of fun. A whole day. Stop. Oh, stop. Oh, stop.
No. Oh,
boy,
dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay.
Boy, gosh, I hope she's okay.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
So hopefully that's not you,
right,
Rachel.
Right. So, yeah, but my only fear is that I'll be the woman in the grape stomping viral video.
Right. You will come back with a full leg cast.
Right. And I'm also like, what do I wear? Because I was going to wear maybe, like, pants and, like, wedges.
No,
right? A
you
dress?
Have to wear, like Lucy does, like some sort of...
pantaloons?
No. Were they pantaloons or were they, like, a big skirt that you can just, like... Pulled
oh, no, yeah, it is yeah, a skirt.
I mean, have you seen that movie, A Walk on the Clouds?
Of course.
I love that movie.
Oh, my God. I love
I when mean,
they're, when they're when the fire's going and they're like angels.
P.S. That's like the sexiest scene in a movie when, like, they're soaked in grapes and then having sex with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, my God. No, I remember watching that movie when I was like 11 or 12.
Yeah, that's when I realized, oh,
yeah,
I'm
like
a woman
like,
now.
I feel like I had an awakening to that movie.
My loins are on fire.
And it's and like then I watched it again like as an adult person and it's such a cute story that he just like helped her out and they fell in love and they get to live in a vineyard together now and the fire.
Rachel and I are still in love with Keanu Reeves.
Oh,
we always
I'm
talk about how
very deeply in love with Keanu. My friend just tagged me in a post about how John Wick's third movie date was released yesterday.
Oh,
I was really excited about it.
I actively imagine what our children would look like.
What are they in your mind?
I mean, they look like their daddy, but they act like their mommy. So it's like perfect.
Oh my God,
kid.
It's perfect. I love him so much. And I just am so happy because I feel like he was a joke for a while. And he kind of still is. But I feel like he's kind of entered a new realm.
Right.
I don't know. Like, yeah. He's serious again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's not just in terrible movies.
Right. Did you see John Wick?
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Of course, of course. Why did I even ask?
And then was like...
I was going to say, you particularly would like it because the whole movie is about puppy revenge.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I do in my spare time. I am...
Oh, my God. I wish you just, like...
I'm a vigilante. I'm an animal vigilante. I go after those that hurt animals.
Well, I'd watch that movie. But enough about us.
Yeah, should we talk about Bravo-related things now?
I think we should. I'll give you an update on how this grape stomping went.
Next week.
Awesome. Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about that insane episode of Real Housewives of Orange County. Rachel and I both have passionate thoughts.
We do.
And we're on opposite sides.
I know. It doesn't always happen, but when it does, it's interesting.
And then we're going to go into Real Housewives of Dallas. I mean, because we have to talk about that episode was bananas, and then the next on was bananas.
I want to talk about it now, but I'll wait.
We have to wait. We'll also be talking to Kate Chastain from Below Deck about the new season.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that Friends episode. We were on a break. Like, if somebody leaves you for 6 weeks to be cooped up with the opposite sex, you're on a break.
And she has a new podcast. She gave us some teases about her new show, After Deck, with Kate Chastain.
But first...
We are here with Jocelyn Vina, Daily Dish news editor. And we were just hearing about some of your unique experiences as a journalist.
Journalism has been kind to me over the years. do you remember, like, when Robin Thicke had to do the deposition? He was like, I was, like, drunk and high that whole, like, press tour. I was like, I interviewed you during that press tour. I feel very proud. Like, he came in and he was
on your hiney?
No. It was like very professional, but he definitely had like a water bottle that had like a clear liquid in it that now in like retrospect and he didn't take his sunglasses off and we were inside and I was like very proud to have been on that like press tour like blast.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So you witnessed him both.
I can't say if that day he was, but I know I was a part of that time in his life. It was a special time of his life that I was a part of. So, that's me.
But we have some other news this week. Big news.
Like news like now, not like news like 2013.
Right. Both equally interesting.
Yeah. It's a big week here, Bravo.
It is.
Three trailers. One of which is the Real Housewives of Atlanta season 10. Teaser.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Oh my God.
NeNe, Kim.
Ugh.
Everybody else. It's just like, it's crazy.
People are holding hands.
People are holding hands.
Oh my God, yes.
That hold hands moment. Oh my God. But let's stop talking about it and watch it.
This season on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
The thirst is real.
My nipples are?
Yeah.
Ooh. I am making wine.
I am back, and of course the haters know I'm here. What's going on, you jive turkeys? Is my wig still down?
I am a baby vegan.
Those aren't vegan.
Ah! Is that Kim Zolciak?
You're my new
friend.
Sure,
that's funny.
I did meet someone.
Cynthia and I will get back together.
I'm not going anywhere.
I think you're making a big mistake.
He's sleeping with other women.
Who's your new boo now?
New boo?
This call is from an inmate at a federal prison.
Do I know?
Maybe.
What?
What is it about him?
He's a con artist.
I hope he don't con her out of Chateau Charest.
It's a lot of tension in the air.
Portia is a bad friend.
Once I don't you, I don't you.
There's nothing I need to talk to you about.
Cynthia's Kenya's best friend.
Kenya?
If Kenya says jump, Cynthia might ask her hi.
If you come for me, I will f***ing rip your head off.
Did you not think she was on something?
NeNe, okay?
She's like the devil. Something's off to me.
Sometimes I black out.
Let's play a game. How many believe that Kenya is really married?
Here comes the bride.
What's his name?
His name is, she married a fan.
Yeah.
I just want to meet him.
why are you so involved in my life?
Have you guys met her husband?
Why are you about pimping your daughter out, bitch?
You big ass motherfucking liar.
You deserve some discipline for what you did to Candy.
I don't give a shit about her.
Fuck you. Yeah.
911, what's your emergency?
I need to make a report.
Oh my God. How is this getting juicy?
There are so many things to talk about in this. Number one, Sheree looks great. That was my number one thought.
That's always your comment.
I know. Sheree's just, I clearly have a big crush on Sheree, but I love the blonde wig.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it's in her press photos too. She has the blonde.
Kim and Portia are the new freaking frack?
Them holding hands very intimately.
Very intimately. I love Portia's like a baby vegan. I don't even know what that means. But what? Like, does what? That is that like a vegan like who new? Eats babies? Like, I don't know what that means. But then she's eating like ribs, which is like not a vegan thing. Speaking of eating babies, has anyone seen Mother? Speaking of being baby vegans, have you guys seen Mother? It's very similar to the new season of Real Housewives. They end the same exact way.
Sheree's dating an inmate?
Yeah.
Love?
What?
Who? Yeah, as Jocelyn said, NeNe Leakes is all of us.
Yeah,
when
she's like, what? Shocked.
Yeah. What?
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 I think I'm most excited to find out who Kenya is married to.
I know. She's been teasing us for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, we've had teases from a lot of the women that we've been running on the Daily Dish. Like, there's some stuff in there about Greg that NeNe kind of has alluded to prior to the season starting that we ran on the Daily Dish. Kenya has, very, very vaguely talked about her relationship with her husband. We had Portia teasing how she's a vegan and how one of the other women in the group is also a vegan with her. I believe that it's Kim Zolciak-Bierman.
Right, because she's a vegan, too.
Because, when you think of vegans, Portia and Kim Zolciak are the two women that you think of would be vegans.
Right, we use the term vegan very loosely.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there's vegetables there.
Like, I don't really know what that means. But, yeah, so it's going to be interesting. November 5th.
Did they say that Kenya's dating a fan?
In the trailer?
Yeah, they were like, oh, he's a fan?
I think somebody says that. I don't know what they're talking about, but that is said in the trailer.
Because it just reminded me of Brooks.
Oh. Ooh. Well, and on Teen Mom OG, Amber dates a fan.
Does it end badly?
It's still going, but, it's going to end badly.
Ooh. But I can't wait. And I didn't realize that people were questioning Kenya's marriage, which I kind of get. Because it came out of nowhere. Like, we were all shocked when it happened.
Not that I don't think it's genuine. It's just more why so fast?
It's just more of a surprise thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's not, 20. I mean, she's a grown woman.
Right.
Sometimes grown people just get married. I don't know.
Yeah, like Luann. Not that I'm saying it's going to end the same way. But just, I mean, a Fast and Furious romance.
Luann had, with both her marriages were, her and the Count were also very quick. And they were married for 20 years. So you don't really know how that's going to work out.
And they always say that, you know, the older you get, the more you know what you want, the easier it is to kind of.
Kenya's never been married before, right?
Mm-mm.
First marriage.
Wow.
Speaking of Kenya Moore, the moment when, because she's going to clash a lot, I guess,
with,
as we've seen in the trailer,
which started last season as well at the Chateau Sheree housewarming party, which my invites must have gotten lost in the mail. Sheree, what happened?
Maybe it's still coming.
I had my ball gown ready for that night, never got the invite. But those two do not like each other.
Right, and it's apparently continuing because Kenya Moore just said this to her.
Are you about pimping your daughter out, bitch?
Do you think it's based on that tweet?
Oh, for the John Legend concert?
Yeah.
But if we're playing by New York rules, you never bring the kids up, right?
Right.
But Brielle is over 18.
That's true.
And on the show. In a way that, the kids on other Bev shows are not. Mm. She's on Don't Be Tardy.
Yeah.
She's a cast member. She has on our website.
I wasn't sure which rules we were playing by. What city's rules we were playing by.
Right, right. Which franchises.
Yeah, which franchises rules we were playing by.
So in addition to the Atlanta season 10 trailer, we also have the Married to Medicine season 5 trailer.
And it's really good.
And it's really good. As good as the Atlanta trailer, I would even say.
I would say because you have so, like, literally everyone might be getting divorced.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody likes each other. Right. None of those relationships are happy. Like, it's, people are having, it's going to be very high impact drama this season. Yes. So watch the trailer.
Because I love breakups. Yeah, well, Dr. Jackie and Curtis, he cheated on her. We know now. Like,
we do. It's heartbreaking.
It is.
And then also, sort of out of the Atlanta world, the Candy Escape series, the trailer is up for the, like, limited series that we have. It looks really good.
Escape, still kicking it.
Kicking. K-I-N apostrophe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that looks amazing. And we have Tiny now.
We do.
In the Bravo universe.
Tamika Tiny Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Your girl.
And all of the links to everything that we're talking about will be in the description of this episode.
So go click on them. Pay my bills. Click on the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Help Jocelyn out.
And you could always check in with the Daily Dish on Bravo Digital for any and all of your breaking news needs. So go.
Now.
Now. Right now. Well, not yet. Like, after the podcast.
Right, right. Listen.
And then go.
And then go. Yeah.
So Orange County.
Oh, my God. I feel like the season was a slow burn, and it's just revving up, and this fire is going to be, like, uncontainable.
Right. So last week, of course, was explosive because we had Vicky's birthday party where Tamara's ex-bestie just dropped a huge piece of gossip that cannot be verified. So that's all it is at this point, just mm-hmm. a nasty rumor.
Every time I hear it, it reminds me of Gigi and Reza, though.
Oh, right. Because you can lie. Like, that's the thing. You can just blatantly lie and say you have a piece of proof, but until you're showing it,
mm-hmm.
who knows?
This, I randomly got in my head. I watched Drunk History recently, and, like, in somebody's, like, back and forth, I want to say it was, like, Thomas Jefferson and someone, like, one of them told the newspaper that the other person died. Like, that was, like, what slander was back then. They were like, yeah, and Thomas Jefferson's dead.
Well, I don't know which is worse.
just, like, so funny to think that these, like, founding fathers were petty.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
I think we should just fast forward right away to this beach day boob party.
Right, because, I mean, we cannot forget the reason we're all gathered at Kelly Dodd's house. It is to celebrate that her once 32 Gs.
I literally paused and was like, 32 Gs? Oh, my God. It's so big.
What size are you guys? Just for, like,
I'm a 32 D.
I'm like a 36 G. 36.5.
But okay. The fact that it's 32 and G is what is blowing my mind.
That's 4 Ds.
Oh, my God.
I'm a B.
I'm a B.
I think I was
F.
I went like...
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
You just woke up and were like, what are these? So I think it's good for her health. She said her back was hurting. It was too much weight.
Yeah, I can imagine.
My back hurts. I can't run. And now I'm just like, I'm done.
And that cast of her boobs, we see her get it done.
Oh, right. The, like, plastering of.
And seeing it up against the other women, you were like, oh, my God.
Right. Crazy.
Yeah. So I'm all for this, Kelly.
Yeah.
Do you?
So I'm not sure why volleyball is how we're going to celebrate the occasion. But I appreciate an effort to have an activity.
I literally, in my head, was like, one last bounce around.
Right.
Like, one last.
Sure.
Hurrah.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cute.
Yeah,
I loved that.
It was.
She made shirts, and I thought she did, like, Kelly throws a good party.
She really does.
When she did that beach party last year and had, like, a whole walkway and, like, cocktails and yes. the bar, it was, like, really nice.
Yeah, and even at this party, I mean, the boob cake.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
Nope.
But so this was really the first time we've had all the women Everyone. Together for a while.
Right. Or since.
Yeah, since
no,
the
no,
baby.
Megan's not there. She wasn't invited.
Oh. Well, still, I mean, we know who the real sparks are going to fly between. And that's between Vicky and Tamara, especially because Tamara found out what rumor was said at Vicky's.
Okay, did you pick up on this really quickly? When they were fighting downstairs,
someone said, there was a text message chain that you were in on, Vicky, that said, okay, let's do this. And I was like, dig into this more, people. Like, everyone go back and watch that scene again. It's when they're downstairs.
Text, I am tired of you part of the group trying text to take said, me down.
How have I tried to... But, yeah, if you didn't notice that, I was like, oh, there's something going on here. And how does Tamara know? Or how does, like, the other side know?
Right.
Where's this text message chain?
Right.
I hope it comes out of the reunion. Sorry, I jumped the gun, but I just wanted to focus on that before I forgot.
No, it's a good point to make. It really is.
So, yes, basically, I was confused why Tamara was crying to begin with. So before everyone goes downstairs and before they get into it, Tamara's crying because of Vicky.
Just had a conversation with Peggy, and I'm just so confused.
What's the confusion about?
What did she say? She's just like, I need to talk to Vicky. I need to understand, like, why she's hurt. And
I don't know if it's just because of all the rumors again or what happened, but it's kind of like, don't start none if you don't want none, Tamara.
I feel like this new Tamara is conflicted between moving on and not. And she knew that if she cried, it's like sending a signal, like maybe I'm vulnerable enough to
have a conversation.
Have a conversation. Not that she tried to, but I just feel like that's
That was like a way to say what I really want to do right now.
And I think this has happened before. I think at Heather DeBro's clam bake, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and they had the wine room
cellar
conversation.
Yeah.
That was a great episode.
Right. But so similarly, we're going downstairs to have the conversation.
The theme. I liked that Shannon was like, she's my friend. I'm going to go down there. And, like, I like her loyalty. That is something that I like about Shannon.
Right.
But there was – if the true goal was to move on and try to just make peace, not necessarily that we're going to be friends, Shannon knows going down there is not going to make it happen.
No, I agree. I was also like, Shannon, don't try to keep – Tamara from having this conversation.
Right, but I and Lydia said this, Peggy said this, and Tamara said it at the end. Like, A, I think that she's afraid of losing Tamara. She's afraid of being the odd mom out, someone said. Odd mom out, no, that's another show. The odd one out.
Yeah.
And I totally think that's what it is. Because if Tamara gets friendly with Vicky and Shannon isn't, like, what happens to their relationship? She
right.
calls her 23 times a day.
Yeah.
30 times a day or however much it was. Like, I get why she's being territorial and, like, women are, you
and
know?
Also, as I've said many times, if I'm fighting with someone, I expect my friend to also be fighting
right.
with them. There's always going to be, like, that component to it.
I wrote, friends have to hate the same people.
Right. It's what is the glue that holds friends together.
No, literally, like, I remember a conversation in college when, like, a guy that I had dated was, like, kind of hitting on a new girl at a party. And I was like, ew, she's ugly, isn't she? And my friend, she's like, I don't know, she's okay. And I was like, we are not friends anymore. I was just like, you have, she could be, like, Cindy Crawford, sorry.
I love that's your standard for, like,
beauty. It's like, she could be Cindy Crawford and you tell me that she's ugly.
Right.
Anyway. Now we're just going to think about Cindy Lauper.
You know what's crazy? Now kids aren't going to be able to say, she could look like Cindy Crawford. It's going to be like, she could look like Kaia Gerber.
She could look like Bella Thorne. Bella
Hadid.
Yeah, yeah. Delilah Bell.
Yes.
Lots of bells.
Mm-hmm. It's the new.
Is it?
It's the new
it's
Megan
the new
and Rachel. It's the new Heather, yeah.
Anyway, back to OC. When she went down, so then she goes down there and it's just a disaster.
Disaster. First of all, I was like worried Shannon was about to hit Vicky at one point.
What?
No, she just looked so angry.
I know what you're saying. Okay, like that angry that she's just going to like snap.
Like that you could just see visceral anger behind her eyes.
Well, what I loved earlier in this episode, and I think that it is true for all of them, because they all constantly say, I don't think about them anymore. I don't care about them anymore. They don't affect my life anymore. Nobody affects me. And Steve was like, Vicky, you literally constantly talk about this.
Right. It's and I mean, Shannon's the same way.
Right. But, Steve needs to talk to all of them.
But like, it's so, I tend to act out the scenes for people in the office that haven't watched it yet. I'm like, oh, you haven't watched it yet? So I was like telling Crystal and Andrew about the episode. And I'm like, well, Shannon brings up
cancer scam. And Vicky goes, if you say cancer scam one more time, yes, yes. I'm going to lose it. And Shannon goes, you were in on a cancer scam, Vicky. And it was like, boom.
No, she says, I'm going to go ballistic.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go ballistic.
Cancer. She didn't lie about cancer.
I didn't lie. I was lied to. You bring it up again, I'm going ballistic.
That was 2 years ago. Cancer.
Right, yeah. And it just is like, at a certain point, I get being in on a cancer scam is not a good thing. But because I truly think that Vicky was the most duped of anyone, like, I think that she's, the fact that all of that happened is going to hurt her more than anyone else anyway. Like, at a certain point, what that is doing to her is worse than anything you're going to cause. Or, right. like, you know, or but any hurt that you had. Like, she has that in her past. She yeah. has some guy that lied about cancer in her past. Like, that's punishment enough.
Right, right. I get that. And also, my feeling was Vicky should have just taken that. Like, people will have that feeling right. until Vicky then throws in the punch. Well, your husband beat you. It just was.
That was 2 years ago.
Cancer,
you
baby.
Are a liar that your husband beat you. You lie. I've got the proof.
Oh, I know. It just was like, but it's like, the reason why Shannon and Vicky don't get along is because they're the same person.
Right.
They're just going to go right for that dick.
Don't you dare say that, Rachel. They're the same person. You know that pisses oh God, Shannon off.
I'm sorry. I know. God, I feel like Lydia now. So, yeah, it does not end well. Tamara, also, I felt it was really unfair for Tamara to say, Vicky, why are you yelling? Obviously, Vicky's very upset. That's why she's yelling. And of all people, like, just because a year ago you decided to become calmer, that doesn't right. mean that, like, you get to judge other people.
I did write down the quote, I'm part of an ethics committee.
I wasn't in on a scam. I'm part of an ethics committee. I don't lie.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, then, you're ethical.
Right. So funny.
So good.
And also, what kind of ethics committee?
I know, I wonder. Can we do a quick Google of what an ethics committee would be?
In what context?
Grace is Googling. Or researching, and we can plug Google.
She's asking Jeeves.
She's asking Jeeves. Binging it.
Victoria is an approved member of the National Ethics Association.
Victoria? I don't know why I never knew her name was Victoria.
I knew.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
It is an independent organization of insurance and financial professionals who have maintained an exemplary record of business ethics.
All right.
Oh. Okay, so apparently it's for insurance. But it did, I don't know why I didn't think about this, but, like, of course it's going to impact Vicky's business. Of, like, if you're selling someone insurance and having to be someone that can be trusted, if there's a cancer scam that you're being accused of being involved with, like, her entire livelihood. And we know, of all people, Vicky and her work, it's, like, the number one thing.
Right.
So when she said that, it kind of clicked for me in a different way. I was like, oh, this makes sense.
Right. I found it amusing that Vicky, I mean, I understand. She then is like, I'm out of here. Like, yeah. Forget this. But then she leaves Steve there.
Did she?
She was like, bye, Steve, and like left. And I'm like, what?
Well, maybe he lives like down the street.
That's, but no, does he know these odd. People?
He seemed to be having a good time with the
That's
fellas.
That's true. Maybe he was like.
Maybe he was like, no, I'm turning up.
Yeah. Bye, babe.
Bye, babe. Maybe he's good friends. I could see Steve and Kelly's husband getting along.
Right. But so then you might think as a fan, oh, the drama's over.
I'm like, oh, that was, whew, now we're just going to ride it out to next episode.
No. No.
So all the ladies are kind of debriefing after what just happened at the table.
Peggy is getting on the girls' nerves.
Yes. But I love Peggy because I love that, because Shannon was being kind of rude. And I don't think that a lot of people call out Shannon because Shannon was murmuring under her breath, like, I'm just going to let her talk. I'm just going to let her.
Right.
You can't do that when someone's in front of right. you. And be like everyone else and wait until after and then talk about people.
But there is something about Peggy that rubs, like, Tamara and her the wrong way.
I think it's because, to me, it's very Gretchen, Christine. It's very, like, someone new is here.
Right.
We are the queen bees. You can't have an opinion that's different. It's very Regina George. Mean Girls is going to be on Broadway, by the way. I'm really excited. Anyway.
And Kelly's trying to lighten the mood and bring out her boobs.
Right.
And then someone said, who all has had their boobs done? Lydia, you haven't. Like, that's what Tamara said. Yeah, and then Lydia's like, oh, no, I have, which I was surprised, too.
Me, too.
But because the general trend that we see on OC is very big boobs.
Right. I'm sure Lydia, because she said it was after she had her third kid, it was probably more for, like, maintenance versus trying to do a big enhancement. But, yeah. So Lydia has a reaction and says to Shannon, like, I'm not going to talk about it now, but I know what you just did. I just saw you. Like, you were elbowing Tamara
grabbing her knee,
like you were talking about me and my boobs.
You and me, my friend, haven't been under the knife.
I have moved on.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know that. You guys were putting each other under the head, like, oh, you're talking about it.
Tamara asked me if I got a boob job, and while we're talking about it, Shannon squeezed Tamara's leg underneath the table. They were, like, making fun of me.
Wait. Right.
No, we'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later, then.
Oh, wait, so you're angry at me right now?
Uh-huh.
I had no idea you had a boob job.
No, it's fine. When we were talking earlier, you two were squeezing each other's leg, that I just told Tamara that I had a boob job.
I didn't
even... So now you're talking about it again.
Wait. God, strike me dead right now.
No, I don't need you to say that. You're being really weird.
I genuinely don't think Shannon was.
No, I don't, because she wouldn't have made that joke about how, like, oh, we're the only ones who haven't had our boobs done.
Right.
Like, that wouldn't make any sense.
But I do know, going back to when Lydia was first on OC and Slade.
Yes, they remind me of the hamburger thing.
Yeah. But so Slade whispers to Gretchen, oh, she needs a, we should call her Cheeseburger. Making fun of how skinny she is. That hurts Lydia's feelings because I'm sure she, and I think she said, like, she's gotten comments like that all her life.
Right.
I can take a joke. I felt like it wasn't a joke. And it wasn't like you were making it directly at me, like a funny thing. You were whispering it to her. So that made me feel bad. And, you know, so next time just make a joke to me and I can take it.
And she's like, and I'm not going to stand for it anymore.
Right.
But also, like, her and Shannon have not got on.
Right.
You're right in front of me, and you're going to be, it, from Lydia's perspective.
Right.
And you're going to be like, I can see why she's, like, a little miffed.
Yeah.
But I did like how direct she was. Like, yeah, I'm a little annoyed. I saw this. I'm not going to not call you out on it. And we don't have to talk about it right now, but, like, I'm not going to just be all nice with you right now.
But why, when she, I get that Shannon wants to say, that's not what happened. So why at that point wouldn't Lydia say, oh, okay, I'm wrong? Or not I'm wrong, but, like, I misunderstood what was happening. You know?
I think that there was a big miscommunication, because I think Shannon just was like, why are you mad at me? Oh, you're mad at me now? Like, it wasn't like she was explaining what happened. She could be like, oh, so you're done with me? Oh, done with me? Like, she just kept saying those things as opposed to, like, no, this is what happened. I wasn't. Or just, like, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, she did try to, but, yeah, like, maybe.
I think it needed. Yeah. There was just, like, a disconnect.
Yeah. But so then that just got really elevated very quickly.
But I blame Shannon for that.
Why?
Because I feel like Lydia was like, I'm not pleased with you right now. I don't want to get into it. We can talk about it another time. And then Shannon, which also, like, is, I didn't even think Lydia was, like, that annoyed either. She was just like, I'm really not vibing you right now. Can we just not? Mm-hmm. And then Shannon was like,
Tamara, can you come here for a minute?
Why do you feel like that?
Now.
When it became, like, a huge thing. And I just was like, it didn't need, it could have just, everyone in this episode was taking little things and making them huge.
Okay, so, because we have conflicting feelings, my perspective is, if Lydia didn't want to talk about it, she shouldn't have brought it up. Yeah. Because then it's like, you're already dealing with someone, Shannon, who is sensitive and, like, doesn't want someone to be mad at her, especially if she knows she didn't do anything.
Right.
So now it's like whenever someone's like, can we talk next week? And I'm like, no, we need to talk now. What? Like, I'm going to sit all week with this festering.
Right.
So I just feel like, yeah. Just not good for their...
But I do feel like at a certain point, Lydia, she did explain. Lydia was like, okay, well, we're good now. It's totally fine. And Shannon was like, oh, so you're done with me. So it, like, kept going.
Yeah.
And Lydia was like, no, we're fine. I have to go, but, like, don't worry about it. We're okay. And Shannon just was like, because you're done with me. And it was like, oh, my God, just let it go.
Yeah,
like,
they both were a little much. Because then Lydia imitates, like, her, like...
climbing up the stairs in a dramatic way. Like, you're so dramatic. What, you want more attention on you? You're not getting enough attention. I was like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
But I, you know, the fact that Tamara said it made me feel like, because I had this inkling, too, because Tamara was like, I know things aren't going well with David.
I don't know why Shannon's lashing out. I know that there's some friction between her and David, and it's just coming out in other ways.
And I really, when she said that, I was like, that is exactly how I feel, too. It's like, she's just, like, on another level right now of emotion, and, like, she needs to just, like, slow it down. Because, like, her getting mad at Tamara for not going over and, like, helping her in this, like, nothing situation.
Yeah.
It's like, chill out, Shannon.
Do you think Lydia is understanding that yet? And if she is?
No, I'm sure she has no idea how unhappy Shannon is. We know because we've seen these private moments at home. We've been through their whole journey together. Lydia just met her.
Right.
And in her mind, they had a vow renewal. They're still together.
Right. That's what makes watching Housewives hard sometimes, because it's like you just want to grab the person through the screen, like, you don't know what's happening at home. You need to be nurturing to her.
Right, yeah. It speaks so much more about Shannon than I think the situation.
Right.
But I think it ended okay in a weird way. Like, I feel like Lydia was like, okay.
Yeah.
But then next week, she doesn't get invited to this dinner. And then Tamara kind of throws Shannon under the bus, being like, well, Shannon did the invite.
That's like the most Tamara thing ever.
Right. She's, yeah.
Which, I mean, like, is not bad. I mean, I think she's so entertaining and funny and just like, it wasn't me. It's this one.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see what happens next week with this dinner.
I know. I think what they really need is an honest tea.
Ugh. If only. DeAndra needs to go head over to OC after her trip in Iraq and show them about honest tea.
Right. So let's talk about Dallas.
Yes.
Have you ever been invited to an Honest Tea?
I cannot say I have, unfortunately.
You know, there's a brand called Honest Tea, and I was like, that is a missed opportunity. They should have had those bottles lined up.
Jessica Alba?
No.
Oh.
So many Honest companies. They're very, yeah.
Isn't there like a Jennifer Garner movie? Not that you would know, because you hate her.
Yeah.
Where it's like all about the tea and the messages on the tea, and like, I want to say Jack Black or someone is in it. It's not a good movie.
I mean, anyway, it sounds fantastic.
But I think it's like with Honesty. Anyway, because Honesty has like little sayings on it, right? There's a whole plot line around this in this terrible movie. Anyway, also, as an aside, I wanted to send you this Jennifer Garner, high on dentist drugs. You still don't like her?
Also, she's now, like, going into business for, like, kids organic applesauce. I'm just like, ugh, that's the most Jennifer Garner thing ever.
Ugh. But if Goop were doing it, you'd be like, oh, my God, I got to get it for my non-born children yet.
It would be cooler and sleeker and more expensive if Goop was behind it.
But before we get into the honesty,
yeah,
there was a big life
event. Oh, my God, I swear I just got it.
You just got honesty?
Honesty.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You heard it here first, folks.
It was like a light bulb went off.
Well, now that Megan's life has changed.
Right.
Let's talk about somebody else's life changed this week. Leanne Locken got engaged.
I have to say, like, my heart was swelling because it was the most thoughtful proposal I have ever heard of. And look, I know people go over the top. They do lots of things. This was him 100% considering her feelings, her life, and like what she would want. And I thought it was beautiful.
You're really into throwing parties for people with them in mind. Like, you've said this a few times before.
It's because, I've read a lot about love languages. And you're supposed to love someone in the way they need to be loved. So it's not about how, if you like to do extravagant gifts, it's based on what that person needs. So yeah, I'm very aware.
But no, it was so cute. It was at the carnival. They were playing carnival games. she gave him tips on what balloon to hit, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah.
And then he hits a balloon, and inside was the ring.
Give me your finger.
I'm going to make
you cry. I don't want to make you cry. I want to make you happy. Will you marry me?
Oh, my God.
I'd get down on one knee, but I'd never get back up again.
It was so elaborate too, mm-hmm. and just like then the person behind the counter had champagne waiting,
yeah.
and then he had big Tex, which is a big deal.
Oh yeah, I don't know what that is.
Big Tex is big Tex. He's just always there at the state fair. He's been there for I don't know how many years, decades. But like, if you're in Texas, you know who big Tex is. And had him say congratulations to Leanne.
It was so sweet. And I just was super happy for her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she really wanted to get engaged. And he would always be kind of, I don't want to say mean, because I think that was the kind, that's the relationship that they have, but very much like, yeah, that's going to happen, you know? So I was just really happy for her.
Interesting, though, that she chose not to wear her engagement ring to the honesty.
I get it, though, because if the point is to, like, talk amongst all the girls honestly. Lee?
Yeah.
That's going to outshine, no pun intended, anything happening.
Right. That's a good point.
So that was exciting and happy. And then there was this honesty. And it did not go super well. But then it kind of ended on a good note, which I was surprised
this
about.
This is what I loved about it. It was like, oh, what is the movie?
Hope Floats?
There's this movie where it's a montage of like, oh, okay. It was an episode of Gilmore Girls where it's after Lorelai and Rory have not talked for like a whole season. And then Rory and her grandparents kind of get into a feud. There's one episode where it all culminates into this like all night long conversation. And so you see a montage of them like going from screaming to laughing to drinking to screaming to like – and that's what this felt like. Like, there were times they were just, like, cursing each other out, and then they would be laughing over the silliest things together.
Right. Which I feel like means that's what friendship is. If you're able to scream at someone and then laugh at something, which is why OC is not there yet.
Mm.
But, yeah, I want to dig into this Cameron, to start, Cameron and Brandy situation. I feel like there was nothing Brandy could have done to make Cameron like her. Like,
yeah.
She even gave her the gift. She did apologize. When they flash back, she did apologize. Like, I'm so sorry I don't have a gift for you. Like, I didn't mean to do this in front of you.
Once again, Cameron wanted to point out that you didn't do it the right way, though.
Yeah, it was just like, there's a... And we've seen it before in the season, like, when Cameron was talking to Carrie and being like, maybe she's intimidated by me. Like, there's this, like, amazing catty mean girl quality to her that I love. It's like very queen bee, like, well, maybe you're just not as pretty as me, you know.
I like that she worded it. I think it's maybe because I live in Dallas and she lives in the outskirts.
I don't feel like Randy's opening up to me when I've really tried. I think it's just because I'm in Dallas and she's a little bit more in the outskirts. Maybe she might feel a little insecure around me,
and I'm like, no, what you're trying to say but you feel like you don't want to say is because you have so much more money.
It's code. It's a dog whistle.
Yeah, because by the way, I don't think people are like, oh, you live on the outskirts of Dallas. Like, no, I don't think that's why someone wouldn't like someone else.
But isn't Highland Park a thing?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. But I do think that
Brandy, it's a rich person thing.
Right, but Brandy does have a chip on her shoulder about Dallas society.
Totally.
Like, she, going into this, was like, I feel ridiculous. I don't want to be here. I'm going to be with ridiculous people, and I don't like all of it, and I find it ridiculous. Like, she is not going to be good going into it either. So it was just like, it's not going to go well.
Right.
And then so then she gave her the gift. That fell. That went off like a lead balloon. And then Deandra's like, nope. I loved her little gavel and her, the whole thing that she did to, like,
it's getting out of control.
Yeah.
We need to rein it back in. So then Leanne and Carrie go at it, and Leanne calls her the C word.
Why do you act like a condescending
Okay, we did not just say that word in my house.
I'm not going to have someone call me that.
Bye, Felicia.
Right. But before that, I was kind of annoyed with Carrie, too, because, like, you're not fooling anyone. You can't be condescending. And it's not like no one's going to pick up on that or, like, have an attitude back. Like, just because you're not being direct doesn't mean someone can't get angry that you're right. being kind of an asshole.
And by the way, what was it that, like, she got her face threaded?
Yes, I have a – we wanted to get a video of it for the site, but instead we have a video
just
of something else.
Just all the peach
fuzz? No, no, no. It's like they put gold thread through your skin.
Oh.
I don't know if it's to lift.
Why else would you do it?
I think it's just supposed to be, like, good for your skin. I don't know.
Well, see, what? Because you get your eyebrows threaded, so that's what I thought it meant.
Oh, no. It's like they put gold in your skin. That's... We were supposed to get a video of it for the site, but then she had already gotten it done.
Look it up.
Facelift.
Oh, yeah. It's a facelift. Okay.
Yeah, they basically, like, go along the edges, and then there's, like, little... I think it's...
It's like a corset for your face.
Yeah, there's, like, little barbs, though, and then you...
Ooh. And then she's getting her breasts redone.
I will say production was like, Leanne's getting this gold thing done and I think it would be really good for the site. And I was like, yes, please. But then by the time they were going to be able to film it, she had already done it.
Oh, so selfish.
I know.
But you and I were talking about the history of the C word on Bravo.
We were. There's been so many great... C word
instances.
Moments. Yeah.
So I think the first time ever was Teresa Giudice calling Danielle that at a reunion.
You
Teresa,
piece of garbage.
I'm telling you.
She's a f***ing
And the other ladies were none too pleased about it.
Right.
You don't use that word.
Right.
Didn't Joe call her that in the vineyard?
No, he called her a bitch. Oh, no, my bitch wife. No, and then he used the C word. And then I think he said, f***ing God.
Then Brandy Glanville in Beverly Hills used it to describe what housewife? Because she was like, oh, it doesn't offend me. Like, Carlton!
Yes.
So she calls Carlton, but C-U-N-T-Y.
Funny, when I met you, I felt you have like an edge to you. I said that to you.
She did.
I said
not
that.
In a bad way.
No.
She said she liked you.
You know, you
like
have
you're like a good.
Nice.
I like that.
What? Now this is a word that I really hate, but Brandy used it with me, and I honestly was not offended by it at all.
What did you just say?
Like a good one, like in a good way.
Oh, for God's sake, Brandy.
Right. Erica Jane.
Yeah, so Erica Jane brought it in necklace form. So, yeah, it's a very divisive word. Some people really hate it.
Yes.
And some people kind of, whatever.
Adorn
their necks with it.
Some people wear it around their neck. And then, like, describe their outfits.
Yes.
As that. So, though, at the honesty, I was not surprised that it did not go
over well.
Especially since, like, Brandy saying the F word was like, Brandy?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But I didn't, like, I was happy Leanne called Carrie out. Because, like, again, like, you can't be condescending and then expect that no one's going to say anything.
Yeah.
The whole day she was like, no, my friends don't do that to me.
Or
she was like, actually, no, everybody lives in Dallas or something like that. And it's like, oh, my God, Carrie. But I did want to talk about Mark and Carrie.
I was just about to ask you about that.
So I was in meetings when this was getting filmed, and everyone was like, you guys, Mark and Carrie, there's some stuff going on, and we're definitely going to see it play out this season. So I think this is the beginning, and it's just going to keep going. I can't wait to watch.
That was really hard to watch during the dinner scene because – you know, first of all, I do think Carrie should have probably gotten a babysitter just because you had two adults coming over without their kids. So I think just in fairness to, like, adult conversation, it would be nice. But sometimes you just can't. Sometimes it doesn't work out. That's your daughter, Mark. Like, what the heck?
But, like, what struck me most was throughout the episode, several times Carrie said, well, I knew when I had Zuri, Mark wouldn't care. Or I knew that he wouldn't be.
She was
going to
be mine.
Father.
That's what she said. That she was going to be mine.
when I first got pregnant, Mark like had a mental breakdown because he was scared that he wasn't going to be a priority anymore. Then the week I had Zuri, he went out and bought himself a new Porsche.
Oh, like he did what?
So I think that was pretty much representative of where I'm going to be. He's had two kids. Like, this one's mine.
He already has two kids, so I knew that he wouldn't be as involved. And it's like, but it's your child. Just because you have two kids, you don't want to be involved in your child?
But, and also, for me watching her, why would you want to do that?
Right, but I think she wants kids. And I think that she's...
But why would you want kids with a man who's kind of over it?
Right, I don't know. I think because the heart wants what the heart wants.
Maybe.
She loves Mark, and she wanted to have a kid, and she decided that if I'm going to have a kid, I understand that it's taking it on as on my own.
I just...
But then even after the dinner, when he went after her again to talk about it, I was like, you've already shamed her in front of her friends.
Yeah.
Or you shamed her before the meal about Zuri staying.
Do I need to make a plate for Zuri too?
Yes.
And then your mom's picking her up, right?
No, she's staying.
I can't believe you haven't rethought that.
Like, I think she gets that you're unhappy.
Can we get to the next one?
Yes. Okay. Again, just when you think, like, okay, well, everyone's good. They're going to go to Mexico. It's going to be great. We get more.
And I feel like Rachel and I want to play this clip, but I don't know that you guys at home would be able to hear because they have to subtitle it. So should we act it out?
I think we should. There's a door. We can't see what's going on behind it.
But you hear Leanne's voice or what?
What we think is Leanne or... Right. A possessed Leanne.
Right, it is somewhat demonic. Like, just, we all have that ability to go there sometimes.
Totally.
So then you start seeing the subtitles pop up.
She's gonna come for me one day, and it isn't gonna be pretty. I grew up with a lot of things in my hands, and they're not knives. They're just hands.
Lower, lower. It's like,
they're just hands. I can't do it. They're just hands.
The just is like so just. It's like guttural whispering. Yeah. Like,
they work quite well.
They work.
It's like so deep, too.
I mean, that was like, that shook me to the core.
I mean, it really, like, was like from a horror movie.
Bone chilling.
Bone chilling. I cannot, but I feel like they're just hands.
I think that there has to be some kind of, what do you call it? Like a Jennifer Garner situation, right? I think she might have been under or just coming out from getting under. Or like, because I think they're in a doctor's office and the fact that her voice is so deep and
that,
weird.
Okay, that would be scarier because I feel like that
the
when
truth
you're
comes
under.
Out.
Yeah, like, dear God. Like, do you think her now fiance is watching that? It's like, oh, shit.
I'm sure he knew all about her hands before.
Just dance, just dance. But yeah, look forward to that because I'm literally just saying it all around the office all week, been like, they're just dance.
And I think that's the title of this week's episode. So Rachel and I have sort of been burying the lead and keeping a big secret to ourselves that we're now ready to share. Mm-hmm. Bravo will now have another podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
So not one, but two podcasts.
Two!
And the second one is hosted by Kate Chastain from Below Deck.
Yeah, it's called After Deck. And it's kind of like an after show for Below Deck.
Yeah, where she's going to have like a rotating roster of yachties to break down each week's episode and talk about all the behind-the-scenes stuff that only they know.
Or the below the deck stuff that only they know. Below the deck, behind the scenes?
Okay.
Okay.
The first episode comes out September 26th, and we have Kate talking all about it. Hi, guys. We are here with Kate Chastain from Below Deck, and it's exciting. It's an auspicious occasion because, Kate, you are about to kick off your own podcast, After Deck.
I sure am. I listen to you guys all the time.
So I'm super excited to have my own podcast. As you guys know, it's super fun.
It is so much fun. You can't see us. When you said you listened to us, we both like beamed with joy.
Like, what? Us? No, but we're so excited for your podcast to start, for us to hear it, and we can get all the Below Deck dish.
Yes.
But why don't we get into some right now?
We wanted to start at the beginning. When you were first getting into yachting, did you ever think it would become you being on a reality show?
I mean, it's kind of weird. No, but yes. Everyone in yachting before Below Deck was a thing said, this should be a reality show. But doesn't everybody in every job say that? Yes. And then when I heard that there was a yachting reality show, I was like, I'm probably going to end up on that. And then I heard it was on Bravo, and I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to end up on that. And I just kind of, I don't know, I got a weird feeling when I heard about it, and then I did.
Yeah. Did you watch the first season?
Yeah, I watched it literally below deck as a chief stew on a yacht. And what was really funny was the chief stew at the time, Adrian, my chef at the time, mm-hmm. Rachel, knew her from their hometown in Tampa, and they didn't get along. And I like looked at Rachel, mm-hmm. I was like, don't worry, honey, I'm going to steal her job. So I'm basically the best friend ever.
That's amazing.
And you did.
Yeah.
What is the difference between a regular yacht and a yacht charter that you see on the show?
The big difference is the amount of time the guests stay on board. On a regular yacht of that size, a charter would be 7 days. And when the guests are leaving on Below Deck, they've only been there 2 nights, and we're just finally getting to know them. Like, it takes a good 2 days to get warmed up to the guests. And then, but on a real yacht, it's 7 days. So after 7 days, you guys are like hugging, exchanging addresses, sending Christmas cards. It really makes a huge difference.
That's so funny. And, you know, this most recent episode, we saw one of the, I guess, an officer, first officer. I can't remember what they called
them.
Yeah,
you're right. But, you're right.
Okay. So it's kind of a reminder that, oh, my God, there are other people on this yacht that we never see. When you're not filming, do you have much more interaction with those people?
Well, actually, the first mate on Ohana, which was the first season I did a Below Deck, he was from my hometown, and he was in yachting because his older sister was my best friend, and I got her into yachting. She got her brothers into yachting. So it was kind of really nice for me to go to this whole new reality show situation. And he just coincidentally happened to be the acting first mate on the yacht they chose to rent for the show. So yeah, I keep in touch with him. But the other yacht crew that comes with the other boats, yeah, I wouldn't not hang out with them. We just all live different lives.
Right. Mm. Got it.
You said you were getting a lot of people into yachting. Do you convert people a lot? Is this, like, should everyone get into yachting?
Yeah. I mean, I got Bobby into it. I got Connie into it. Yeah, I do. I don't know why. It's not like I should be getting a commission from somebody. I don't know.
Yes.
I joined yachting at a time in my life where I graduated from college. I was kind of having that quarter-life crisis that I think everybody eventually goes through. And it really was such an exciting and wonderful life experience for me that I just want everyone to experience it as well.
How did you get Bobby into yachting? I didn't know that it was all from you.
Well, after watching this past season, I don't know if I want to take full credit for it, but Bobby's from my hometown, and I've known him for probably over a decade because I was dating a guy and he was friends with a guy, and we're like, oh, we'll go fishing together. And then about 2.5 years ago, I was sitting at a bar at my hometown, getting ready for a friend to meet me, and he comes and sits next to me, like, hey, Kate, how are you? And at the time, they were casting for Below Deck Med, and I was just like, hey, you look pretty eager. Do you want to be on yachts? And he already had his fire, whatever certification, and he was really proficient in jet skis, so he was kind of a natural match.
Awesome.
I hope you don't mind the question, but have you ever hooked up with Bobby?
No. But Bobby was
there a pause?
Very... No, that was like a muffled laugh, a guffaw, if you
right.
will. No, but Bobby actually did have a pretty big crush on my cousin. I've got a lot of cousins in town, small town. My family's all from here, and she looks just like Malia, so I thought that was really funny.
That's crazy.
Well, I was going to ask you about Malia. Does that, like, always happen on a charter? Because we're seeing it with Bree now. Do, like, all of the guys just fall for one girl and it's, like, a competition?
I think so. I think, and it happens the other way, too. Like, there'll be one guy who, like, if one person has a crush on them, then everybody has a crush on them. It's kind of just like Lord of the Flies or on Desert Island. It's like a human nature to, like, focus on one member of the opposite sex to compete for them. And then if we were all, like, in a normal job where we could leave at the end of the day, I bet no one would have those same feelings at all.
Mm, it's a bit cabin fever
driven
love.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I mean, you're never afraid of the lady pond. We wanted to do a special edition of Mary F*** Kill Stewardess Edition.
Okay.
So you have Emily from last season, Rocky, and Malia from Below Deck Med.
Oh, those are horrible options. Well, first of all, I
have to do it.
First of all, I'm not really attracted to females that often. I mean, I was once, and that person was like 6 foot tall and built like a brick house. But so you picked all real petite, girly looking girls, but I'll play this game. It's really hard though, because I already know. I think I would F Rocky because she's nuts. And Eddie seems
interesting.
You know, Eddie said it was a good time, so I trust his judgment.
Okay. Okay.
And then by default, I would marry Malia.
Okay. Mm. Sorry, Emily.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that I want to marry Malia.
Right. Right. You but just these are just the options we gave you. We get it.
Yeah.
Rocky would be thrilled,
I think Malia's actually pretty cool. She seems very cool and down to earth. Like, she scuba dives. That's cool. She's got a cool tattoo. She's into fitness. And, yeah, out of the three, that's the one I would spend the most time with, I guess. How about you guys?
God, I mean, Malia is really cute. Rocky intimidates me a little bit.
Because at first you want to kill Rocky because she's so over the top. Then maybe that's a good thing in the bedroom.
Yeah, I mean, you right, may be
and
something,
also
Kate.
You gotta watch out for that slow burn crazy who like plays innocent, you know.
Oh,
who are you talking about?
I'm just saying hypothetically.
Okay.
Okay.
So one of my favorite things about Below Deck is watching charter guests just get shit faced. As a stewardess, do you ever have to cut them off drinking wise?
No, because I want them to go to sleep. The sooner they go to sleep, the sooner my job is over. Like, I don't cut them off or tell them I am. I might pour them if it's dangerous, if they seem like they're past the point of no return. I'll just pour water and talk them out of it or lead them to their cabin. But they got to get pretty close because you're not supposed to say no when you're yachting.
Well, in that line of not saying no, what's like the craziest thing someone has asked you?
I get asked this question all the time. And I always tell everyone I should really have a prepared answer. But to me, none of it seems crazy. It's like, I don't know. It's ordering hookers 5 minutes after their wife stepped off the boat. Is that crazy? I'm desensitized.
I mean, yes.
I don't know. Is that crazy? That's normal.
Right. Wow. Right. Yeah. You're in a different normal world than I think we are in the Bravo offices.
Yeah.
Right,
our Bravo celebrity requests aren't nearly that scandalous.
Well, I thought you would be a good person to ask. What is like the best thing to give someone who is partaking a little bit too much? Is it coffee? Is it water? Like, how do you, the best way to deal with someone? As we kind of saw Jen this week.
I mean, I wish I could just give them Ambien. Because then they fall asleep real quick. But, you know, that's, like, probably illegal and frowned upon.
Right.
And, probably. But I would say a couple Dramamine, a Tylenol PM, maybe some food and a movie.
Okay.
A blanket.
Just sit down. Entertain
just
them.
Something that gets them comfortable towards, like, hey, this is really fun, this movie, this quesadilla, this pill.
We never see the movies, which makes sense because that's boring. But, yeah, I never factor in that there's some downtime to watch TV or a movie.
Oh, my gosh. There was one charter guest last season who was so drunk. And she's like, I just want to watch Magic Mike. And we didn't have working internet or cable TV on the boat. So all I had on my laptop was Downton Abbey season 5. So I plugged in Downton Abbey, and she's like, "This isn't Magic Mike." I'm like, "Yes, it is. It's ye old Magic Mike 3. And she believed it.
They went in a really different direction for the third one.
Just keep waiting. The clothes will come off.
wait about 300 years, honey.
That's amazing.
So I wanted to talk about, you've spoken openly about your resting bitch face. Does that still get you into trouble at all? I imagine you have to smile all the time with charter guests, or no? Is that wrong?
Clearly I don't. I'm kind of known for not. I think I smile from the inside. I smile with my actions. Like, and also on like yachts that I was trained on, the charter guests don't want to see you smiling like a Hooters waitress. They did not come to Chuck E. Cheese. Mm. They did not come to Disney World. They don't want to pose with the theme park hosts. You know, it's less smiling is better.
So much more like Downton Abbey then.
I was about to say, you don't see them on Downton Abbey cheesing it around. If you're smiling, you're having too much fun.
Right.
Oh.
I really want to talk about Jen because she is such a character. And I want to know if before watching the second episode, you knew she could come on demand.
I didn't know it until I watched it, but I'm not surprised at all.
Do you feel that's an important skill to have in yachting?
I guess so. I mean, if you can do it alone, that's probably your best bet. She right. doesn't require anyone else. So, yeah, she'd be a great yachty.
One of my favorite things you did, I think like your first or second season, was give everyone fonts. Mm. What font would Jen be?
See, I have to be looking at it to be inspired, and I'm running out because I might have to. Cat was Wingdings, but that was a couple years ago. I think Wingdings, you know, 2.0, Wingdings in italic. It's definitely going to be in the Wingdings family because you hit a button and you are always surprised by what comes out. Is it going to be an angry face? Is it going to be a Roman symbol? Is it going to be an emoji? Who knows?
So I feel like this episode we saw her kind of bite back at you, I'll say. She like called you unprofessional in her interview. She didn't like that you're kind of teasing her. What did you think watching that?
Well, at the time, I was really surprised because I thought she was joking with me in a way that meant she could dish it and take it. But then as the further the season went on, I saw that actually, no, she can only dish it. So it's disappointing because I really do think she's the funniest girl I've ever worked with. She is so funny. And I thought we were laughing together. And I think the only thing holding her back from having a good time was this chip on her shoulder.
Yeah, I always, when I was watching it, I was like, she's clearly trying to include Jen in on the joke. Like, I never felt like it was, like, very sarcastic and...
It's kind of unfair what Jen does, because Jen will be outrageous, and Jen will say these things where you're like, clearly, you're joking, right? So you think you're laughing with her, but then... She says she's not joking, but then you're just nuts. It's like, if I were you, I'd say you were joking.
Right. You don't want to be serious about that.
Yeah. I think that it was very hard adjustment for her to go from being a mother and like higher up in her profession to coming to be like the bottom of the totem pole. And I think that's really where her upsetness came from.
Mm. Makes sense. Well, we saw you leave her to go meet up with Hot Jesus. Who is Hot Jesus?
Oh, Jesus. I swear. I think he was a gift from God.
Well, it was
I'm not joking. I'm not joking right now. Like, I was feeling really overwhelmed. Like, I felt like I was being set up to fail with this crew. And I don't know what I'm going to do. There's no way I can work this hard the whole season. And I walked on the dock, and there he was. Looking gorgeous, looking friendly. And every time I would go talk to him, like, gosh, you don't understand. I'm working with these morons. And he would just say to me, but you have to have empathy. And I'd be like, okay. All right. Oh,
oh my God.
He was just so
Christ-like.
And he was writing a book on like the marriage of religion and science. He was great.
Are you still in touch with Sailor Jesus?
Yes, he's so sweet. I told him he needs to get a kitten. He did. He was waiting at the airport with flowers for me in Guadalupe. I didn't show up. I forgot to tell him I wasn't coming.
You stood Jesus up?
Listen, I was at the end of the season and I was tired. Forgive me, Father, I've sinned. But you know what? I have a great car. And I feel like he's got a sailboat. I live in Florida. It's his turn. Settle Florida, Jesus. Walk on water. Part the seas.
I kind of wanted to talk to you about hooking up in general on the charter. Last season on Below Deck Med, we saw Bobby hook up with a charter guest, Hannah hook up with a charter guest. How bad is this? Because I feel like it didn't seem so bad on the charter.
I don't have a problem with anybody hooking up with anybody on a charter. It's a yacht. People are drinking. Oh. People are cooped up. I think Hannah definitely should have hooked up with Jason. It was like modern day Cinderella.
Yes, it was. Why? What a great analogy.
Because she even had the two little stepsisters.
Yes. Oh my God, so true.
And then, I mean, the Bobby hookup was like not even real enough to talk about. I mean, she was on the clock. Oh. I think she's a genius, you know, like it kind of allowed her to not have to do her duty while she, I'm just saying. And I think
we're picking up what you're laying down, Kate.
I just don't ever think it's bad because it's an adds to excitement. It's better than hiring hookers,
right?
At least if those are your options,
right? Yeah,
that's the better one.
I mean, if they're two consenting adults, why not?
Right. So, like the Malia and Wes thing, totally fine too.
Yeah, actually, I kind of like it when crew members get crushes on each other because yachting can be really depressing and hard if you're not, you don't have a romantic interest. Like, you'd be like, oh, I got to wake up for another day of cleaning. And I guess I'll just eat 7 more croissants because who cares? But when you have a crush on someone, you kind of get out of your bunk a little more excited, do your hair, do your makeup because you want to look cute for them. Then you're like excited to be on deck and like see them in the crew mess. It just makes people happy to be on the boat if they've got a crush.
Mm. And the flip side, if someone's in a long distance relationship, does that really affect them?
Yeah, it really does. And I've been on both sides of it. It's kind of like that Friends episode. We were on a break. Like if somebody leaves you for 6 weeks to be cooped up with the opposite sex, you're on a break.
Mm. I like this rule.
And
this yachty
it's
rule.
It's like international waters. So.
Right. Different area codes.
Totally.
So I wanted to move on to the chefs. I know chefs always tend to be a difficulty on the charters that we see, but Matt seems to be going pretty well.
Yeah. I think that all chefs' personalities are as flavored as the dishes they create. And I think Matt is no exception. He's pretty, he likes to cook meat and potatoes, and that's it. He's sweet.
Right, we saw him struggling with the sushi.
He's very sweet, and I like meat and potatoes, but sometimes I'd rather have the banter and the excitement of somebody with an opinion than just, you know, Mr. Rogers in the galley.
Yeah, we're going to ask you that question. Would you prefer, the worst day you had with Ben to just this kind of smooth sailing charter with Matt?
You know what? I don't think it's too much to ask for a happy medium. I've worked with people, with chefs, that I didn't want to, like, murder me, but also weren't, like, you know, Canadian paint drying. It's just, there is a happy medium.
He seems to, like, come alive when he's drunk, though.
And that was almost more annoying, because then we get back to the boat and be like, Matt, I know you have it in you. Come on. Why are you holding back on purpose? Right. It was almost.
I've seen it. It's
more
there.
Annoying because I knew he was funny. And it's like, why won't you bring that? It's like you're saving it for when is less important.
Right, right. We need it now in the galley.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk about your new podcast.
Tell us what fans can expect from it.
Yeah.
Well, it all started when I was talking to Hannah a bunch when Below Deck Med was airing. And basically all the Below Deck Med people were calling me for advice and giving me their takes on the season, and I felt like I was Dr. Phil. But I thought it was so interesting to hear all these different below deck crew members' takes on virtually the same experience. So I pitched the podcast, and now it's happening. And I think it's going to be super fun to have different crew members every week talk about what they felt like during this show, whether they were on prior seasons, current seasons, below deck med seasons. Because at the end of the day, it's the same job. It's serving food to guests on a boat. But everybody has such a unique perspective. And also, I really like doing interviews and being sassy and snarky. So this is just an opportunity for me to do that.
Great. And we want to know, who are you most looking forward to interviewing? And maybe who's one person you would never have on your podcast?
Well, I'm pretty sure. Well, unfortunately, I don't know why, but Leon still hasn't returned my calls.
oh, I can't imagine.
I would love to have Kat back on because she's real nutty and refreshing, and I just miss her vibe. She was a real yachty. Amy is always sweet, and she's adorable. Everyone loves her. I think that I would like to talk to Chef Adam because I feel like Hannah was very lucky to have him as a chef. I think he's that mix between a little bit sassy but a little bit nice. And he's really hot. Come on.
Yeah, he was really cute. Or is, not was. He's still with us.
Yeah, I think he's getting hotter.
Yeah, he was just heartbroken, and I think that's why he came off so abrasive.
I know. I feel like if I had been on a charter with him, the onions thing never would have happened.
Oh, really? Why do you say that?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that Hannah was distracted by Bobby and Bugsy trying to, like, underhand her. But I think and Hannah loves Adam. And I think that their friendship developed too late in the season because she was distracted by other people. But I think I would have zeroed in on that Adam and made him a, you know, ally much sooner in the game. And if he wanted to do something rebellious, he'd be like, listen, I made a rocket ship. Here's what you should do.
Right. Forget the onions. More rocket ships.
Like, what's a rocket ship of food? We can do this. I can help you.
And I know you're going to be interviewing Captain Lee. We've seen you guys bond throughout the seasons. What makes him so special as a captain?
You know, it's so funny. Every time we talk on the phone, Captain Lee and I'm, like, refreshed by how funny and wise he is. You think I would know by now, but he's just salt of the earth, and he always knows what to say, and it's usually right.
What's his best piece of advice he's ever given you?
It's always some kind of saying. Like, listen, Kate, don't look out the window when you got two doors closing with a bird in the bush. Like, I don't even know what it means half the time, but if you think about it, it's just really wise wisdom. He doesn't get too bothered about anything, but when he does think something is wrong, he addresses it very straight on without getting emotional. And me, I'll probably get, like, offended and be a little sassy. And he manages to, you know, compartmentalize and just, but also I think coming from a salty captain, everything sounds a little more stern. So.
Right. That makes sense. So we all just need to take a page out of Captain Lee's book, basically, is what you're saying. Dealing with difficult people.
Yeah, I hope he comes out with a book, and I think he might be working on one with all of his sayings, because at first they sounded just like cheesy sayings, but he has one for every situation and they work. So he's on to something.
Yeah, they're so funny. Well, I want fans to know that they can subscribe to your new podcast show, After Deck, right now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. The first episode comes out this Tuesday, September 26th, after Below Deck.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and I just want to ask one more quick question. Is there anything you can tease for the rest of the season?
Yeah, there is going to be a romantic hookup, and and also there will be a big change in personalities. Someone on the interior, I'm not saying it's the galley or the students, but definitely evolving personalities. You can't take everything at face value. It's still very early in the season.
I can't wait to see who changes. Is it like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Both of them.
Well, we'll be watching, and then we'll be tuning into your podcast to hear your thoughts.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for having me. And I feel like we're
of course
podcast cousins now, so it's exciting.
Yes.
I'm so excited for you to join the fam. Thank you so much, Kate. That was so fun. Now I know to just put on Downton Abbey whenever my friends are too drunk. And that is just the most valuable advice I could ever get.
Right.
For anyone that wants to subscribe, which should be all of you, please look to the link in the description to do so. Sorry, weird phrasing. You can find the link to subscribe below in the description.
We haven't consistently been talking about flipping out, but this was a fun anecdote to share, is that one of our friends and fellow show producers, baby crazy, loves babies, wants to be a mom real bad one day. And she has been watching the last couple of weeks and is like, I don't know if I can do it.
Well, I was on flipping out and then I had to sadly give it up because of just the way the schedule was. And I was having phone calls with the producer and I was like, could we get like photos of the baby or like at home videos? And she was like, it's very colicky. She was like, it is not an easy situation and they're rebuilding their house and like we can't get you anything because it's just like not gonna happen.
It really, like, what I appreciate about Jeff and Gage is that they're letting cameras really show how hard it is on a relationship to have a child. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, and I was saying this to someone, I was like, you know, when you're in a relationship and you go through a hard time, whatever it is, you either instinctively come together and like lean on each other or you turn against each other.
Right.
They turn against each other. Yes.
Well, he's filing divorce, or he has divorce papers ready, or divorce stuff ready.
Like, he has imagined it.
Yeah.
But at least this week's ended in a good note because they moved.
Give up.
They kind of shook things up. So I don't know. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Please stay together, Jeff and Gage. I can't handle it if you break up.
I know. Although Zoila would probably be happy.
Yeah. Like, I have Jeff back.
I love her hatred of Gage. It's so funny.
So, guys, we need you to watch Dallas. More importantly, we need you to watch the next on at the very end.
Next on The Real Housewives of Dallas.
Right. That part. Once you watch that whole Leanne thing that we just tried so hard to recreate. I don't know if we did a good job. I hope so.
We don't hold a candle to the real version.
Once you watch it, tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish, hashtag They're Just Hands.
They're Just Hands.
Just Hands. So we can then talk about it. And you can always reach us. I'm at Meg Segura.
And I'm at Rachie Robb.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Looking fine and I got my girls with me.